O Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you as the one true God. We give you our thanks and praise. You have created, redeemed, and sanctified us. We owe everything we have to your bountiful goodness. We can never thank you enough, but we ask you to accept the humble praise that we offer to you this morning from our grateful hearts. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome this morning to our service today in the name of our all-gracious, almighty, beneficent, triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Spirit of our God be poured out upon us richly as we worship our Savior God this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins by the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant you grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, almighty Father, heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the Lord of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, since you have given us, your servants, grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the true unity in the power of your divine majesty, keep us also steadfast in this true faith and worship and defend us always from all our adversaries. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign as one true God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first lesson today is a pretty spectacular vision which the prophet Isaiah was granted, and the prophet Isaiah, who lived about 800 years before Jesus, he's the one that gave us the beautiful chapter 53 prophecy of Jesus, who would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Early on in his ministry, he was called by the Lord to serve as a prophet, and at this time he was granted this spectacular vision of the triune God, and where the Lord prepared him for his work by reminding him that in spite of his sinful condition, that through faith in the coming Savior Jesus, his sins were purged so he could serve him with gladness. We read this vision in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and following. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." So far the first lesson. Let's now join in a responsive reading of the 150th Psalm as printed in your bulletin. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for his acts of power.
Praise him for his acts of greatness.
Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet.
Praise him with the harp and lyre.
Praise him with tambourine and dancing.
Praise him with the strings and flute.
Praise him with the clash of cymbals.
Praise him with the sound of cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In our second lesson, we read a selection from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, where the Apostle Paul presents the wonderful teaching of the Bible that it is through faith in Jesus that we get to be and are called children of God and are blessed with the privilege of calling upon our God in prayer, knowing that he hears us for Jesus' sake. And a reminder that through that same Savior, we have, as children of God, become heirs of glory in heaven when we will see our triune God. Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry out, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
You may remain seated for the confession of faith this morning. It is customary on the Sunday of the church year to use the Athanasian Creed as our confession of faith. It's not used very often because of its length, but we desire to read it, confess it together this morning. The pastor will read the first part, and then for the all section, we'll have everyone stand and we'll conclude our confession of faith in this Athanasian Creed, named after the church father Athanasius, who lived back, I think it was the 3rd, 4th century. He was a staunch defender of the Bible teaching of the Holy Trinity and of the deity of Jesus Christ, which was being questioned in those years, even as today it is questioned and denied. And so it's good that we have such a confession that presents this doctrine very clearly and very beautifully. Also, one other note at the very end of it, where we'll say that, confess that on the last day, those that have done good will enter eternal life, and those that have done evil, not saved, but condemned. That's a reference to the teaching of the Bible that when the Lord comes back on the last day, it will be our works that will be the outward evidence of the faith that was in our hearts in Jesus. And that, of course, is by which we are saved, by faith alone. But the good works will be the evidence of the faith, and that will become evident on the last day. So then, the pastor will confess the first part. Whoever wishes to be saved must above all else hold to the true Christian faith. Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all points will certainly perish forever. Now, this is the true Christian faith. We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being. For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, so is the Son, so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there's one who is eternal, just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there's one who is uncreated and one who is infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Holy Spirit is almighty. Yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord. For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord, so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords. The Father is neither made nor created, but nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son. So there's one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior, but all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal, so that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons. Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity. I invite you to stand. So we continue. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man born in time from the nature of his mother. Fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity. And although he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons but one. One not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. One indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved. Lord, grant and preserve this true Christian faith unto us all. Amen. Grace and peace be to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Trinity Sunday is recorded in John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 17. The congregation may be seated for the text. We read there in John chapter 3, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he's old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' said Jesus, 'and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So far the text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear Christian friends, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. That's what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, the confession he made to the Christians who lived in that city. And he speaks about the incomprehensible greatness of the triune God. He's so great, so powerful that no puny human can measure the wealth of his wisdom or trace out his steps. Nobody can fathom his power. And certainly on no Sunday of the church year is this brought home to us more forcefully than this Sunday, Holy Trinity, the day when we contemplate the mysterious doctrine of our triune God, that there are three persons in the Godhead, yet only one true God. The triune God, we pray for his blessing today as we consider another sublime teaching of Holy Scripture, the one that Jesus presents here in our text concerning our being born again into the family of the triune God. We'll first talk about what it means to be born again, then why everybody needs to be born again in order to be saved, and finally, how our almighty triune God makes this miracle happen. The text before us relates the story of this man Nicodemus, his visit with Jesus. He was a member, this Nicodemus, of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. He was also a Pharisee, part of that Jewish religious sect. It seems that Nicodemus, his curiosity had been piqued because of the things that he had been hearing about Jesus and the miracles that he is reported to have done. And so one night, in order to learn more about Jesus, he came for a visit. And it was in the course of Jesus' visit with Nicodemus that the Lord said something that really knocked off the socks of Nicodemus. He said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Totally floored by that statement of Christ, not understanding what the Lord was talking about, Nicodemus asked, "How can people be born again when they're old? Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's body to be reborn, can they?" The Lord went on to help Nicodemus to a true understanding of what he was really talking about. He wasn't talking about being born again in a physical sense, which of course would be a very absurd notion, the very idea of going back into your mother's body and being reborn physically another time. But no, Jesus was saying that just as your mother gave you physical life and brought you into the physical world on the day of your birth, that you might experience life in the physical universe, even so, to enjoy spiritual life, which means a loving relationship with your God, peaceful relationship that starts here and continues on forever in heaven, you need to undergo a spiritual birth. Your way of thinking and believing, you're thinking about sin and death, and how you get saved and rescued from sin and death, needs to be completely overhauled, transformed and changed. Another word that the Bible uses to describe this stupendous miracle of God's grace is called regeneration, which is the same thing, just another word, rebirth, regeneration. Paul talks about it in his letter to Titus when he wrote, "When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ our Savior." Peter also wrote about this wonderful teaching of the Bible when he wrote in one of his letters, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." So, in the Bible, this matter of being reborn, regenerated, that designates what happens in our hearts by the power of God when he leads us to trust that Jesus lived his life for me in perfection, died on the cross for me to atone for my sins, and rose again as the stamp of approval from God that, yes, I am justified and saved. That's what it means to be born again. There are a lot of different and strange ideas. You may have heard some of them that different religious groups have in the world about this matter of being born again. Some mistakenly believe that being born again means you need to undergo a special religious experience, a particular and specific time that you can point to in your life when you got saved or when you got religion. Some think that being born again means that you've arrived at a point in your life and you've finally become a super sanctified, spirit-filled Christian and achieved a level of holiness in your life beyond that of ordinary Christians. So maybe you can even speak in tongues and perform faith healings. The Bible doesn't teach that two-tiered system anywhere for being a Christian. There's Christians And then there's born again Christians. No, in the biblical use of that term, the truth is that every Christian is born again, because Christians are simply people who have been turned from unbelief to faith in Christ. And that's what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus that night. To enter into God's kingdom, to be saved, Nicodemus, you need to believe in me. That's the section where that John 3:16 passage falls that we know so well. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So why does everybody need to be born again in the true sense of the Bible in order to be saved? Well, Jesus answers this for us also in his discussion that night with Nicodemus, when he said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All people since the time of Adam and Eve are born with a sin nature, or sometimes called an old Adam, passed down to them from their parents. All people are born with like an incurable, fatal, spiritual disease that they can't rid themselves of on their own, and unless there were some outside help given to them, would be destined to die eternally in hell. That's what David lamented in Psalm 51. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It's what God told Noah in the days of the flood. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And we heard Isaiah's lament in our Old Testament lesson. Woe is me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the Holy Lord, the Triune God, the King Almighty. How will I ever survive? Paul wrote to the Ephesians, same thought in different words, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And we all were by nature objects of God's wrath, with our whole nature corrupted by sin from our birth, with our wills turned only against our Creator by nature, with our understanding darkened in regard to all the things of God, the truth of God and what He does to save us, how could we ever hope to be saved and enter our holy God's presence if it were up to us? I like the picture I ran across recently of a dead car battery. They have no ability to turn over and crank a car engine and get it moving down the highway. A dead battery is only good to be tossed out into the junk pile unless somehow it can get charged up. Like a couple months ago, I left my headlights on in the car in the garage and I ran down my battery and got it behind the steering wheel and nothing. And I turned on the key. Well, maybe if I wait overnight, it'll turn on in the morning. Yeah. Nope. I had to use a charger to get the battery charged back up again. Similarly, we being dead in sin were destined for the junk pile of eternal perdition in hell, unable to get ourselves going spiritually to bring ourselves into God's family on our own. Could not change ourselves into a people who trust in Jesus on our own, love Him and serve Him. Couldn't get ourselves among the group of those who are heading down the highway that leads finally to our Father's home in heaven. We couldn't generate any life within ourselves on our own. So, our loving God decided to do that for us in a very miraculous way by causing us to be regenerated and born again, brought to faith in Christ. So how does He do it? How does He make our God give us this new birth? Again, we see how the Lord answers the question in our text when He told Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. clear reference to holy baptism. The Lord uses water, the Word of God connected to the water of holy baptism, both in the case of infants and in the case of adults, to bring about this miracle. Again, that reference of Paul to Titus that we shared earlier. He wrote, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. And I'm also mindful of the sermon that Peter preached on Pentecost Sunday to the crowd that was so troubled over what's going to happen to us. We crucified the Lord of glory. What shall we do? They were cut to the heart. They thought, you know, like Isaiah, woe is me, we're undone. We're never going to get to heaven. What can we do? Well, Peter answered. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And who is the promise for? The promise is for you and also for your children. Baptism is for everybody. And that's what the Lord uses. He does not mysteriously zap people in some mysterious way with the new birth. He uses His Word and the sacraments. And that is a source of great comfort for us to know that. Jesus, in His discussion with Nicodemus that night, left out of the picture of our being saved and reborn and regenerated any of our own workings or efforts or strivings completely. Jesus did not say to Nicodemus, you must be born again by praying harder or by striving to lead a better life. He simply said, Nicodemus, you need to be born of water and the Spirit by the gracious working of your merciful, faithful, and all-loving Triune God. And we know that the Lord performed that miracle in the case of Nicodemus, for he was the one, as you know later on in the Passion story, along with Joseph of Arimathea, were the two men that had the courage to go and take down the body of Jesus from the cross and bury it before Jesus then rose from the dead on Easter morning. And dear friends, if the question should ever arise in your mind, but how can I know for sure that I have been born again, that I am a regenerated child of God, saved, and that I'm on the road to heaven, the Bible's answer is, do not look inside yourself for that certainty, to your inner feelings or emotions, which are so unreliable and they fluctuate from day to day, forming no solid rock for your confidence, but remember that your faith, not built on feelings any given time or day, but on the solid rock of Christ and His promises to you in Holy Scripture, which are rock solid. So whenever you need assurance or reassurance that you have been born again, that you're a born-again Christian, go simply to the promises of Jesus' Word. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Another beautiful passage is Galatians 3, verse 26. You are all the children of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're dressed in Jesus' righteousness by which you shall stand unashamed on that day when He comes back to bring you home. So thanks be to your blessed Triune God for blessing you with a new birth. May the Holy Spirit, by the Word, by the power of your baptism, preserve, sustain, and strengthen you in this new life that he has graciously created within you until that day when we stand before him and view our triune God in all his glory in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free. I invite you to stand for prayer, and tomorrow being the Memorial Day holiday, we'd like to offer a special prayer for Memorial Day. If you want to follow along with the prayer, it's on page 4 of your bulletin, and then we'll offer the responsive prayer for the Festival of Holy Trinity as found in your bulletin on pages 4 and 5. Heavenly Father, Lord of the nations, our country does not deserve your kindness and favor, yet in spite of our ungodliness and flagrant disregard for your holy commandments, you continue to bless us with liberty, peace, and protection from our enemies. We thank you. We pray that you would turn the people of America to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. As we remember on Memorial Day those who have died for our civil freedom, make us grateful for their sacrifice. Lead us to pray more regularly for our country, its leaders, and armed forces. Let peace continue to reign within our borders so that your people may freely share the gospel of forgiveness in Christ throughout our land. Amen. Glory to God, O Father, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to you. You have invited us to pray and promised to hear us and answer us according to your merciful will. For wisdom and faith, for the fear of the Lord and confidence in his word, for peace to rule our hearts, and for love to rule our lives, let us pray to the Lord. For the baptized and the confirmed, for Christ to be fully formed within us, for courage to walk as children of light, and for strength in the face of temptation, let us pray to the Lord. For all pastors, teachers, and church workers, for those preparing for the Lord's service, for those who will hear and believe through them, let us pray to the Lord. For contented hearts and peaceful minds, for an end to conflict and discord, and for unity of faith and the faithful confession of the Holy Trinity, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are troubled in mind and heart, for the grieving and their sorrow, for all the sick and those who suffer, and all those we name in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord. For all the people of God, for lives of holiness, righteousness, and obedience, and for joyful hearts, even in the face of adversity, let us pray to the Lord. For thankful hearts, for the faithful support of the church and the work of the Lord here and throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord. For the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord. For these and all such things as the Lord knows we need, and for faith to trust in His purpose and His timing, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, defend us, and bring to completion all that You have began, O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of your triune God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.